Well, hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Nichols, your host. I am the Investor Coach, here to pull back the curtain on the financial industry and expose the truth about money and investing. Welcome back if you're a regular listener. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. I have not been on for a few weeks. I have been out of pocket, so to speak, with the recent holiday and New Year. Took a little time off to spend with the family, and well-deserved, if I don't say so myself. I hope this finds you well today as you're listening to this. This is being recorded on January 20th. That is a Thursday, all day, I believe. And we have a market update that we're going to start out with, which is what I've become accustomed to doing fairly often. I try to do it weekly, but, you know, of course, you don't do a show every week. It's not going to be weekly, but we generally do a show, barring travel, et cetera, et cetera. What an incredible year we had in the market last year. Hallelujah. Yay, team. Touchdown. Score. Goal. Let's keep going. It restores our faith in the greatest wealth-producing tool, entity known to man, and that is the stock market. It's incredible. I'm a huge advocate of the stock market. For those of you that have invested prudently, correctly, well-diversified, we're in all the asset classes, avoided the market timing, avoided the track record investing, avoided searching out the managers that were supposed to be the best, and just applied some academic principles, you should have got 20 plus last year in return. And that is exciting when you start to consider that a number of people I've been talking to said, what? I don't think I've got much of any return. And then I look at their accounts and see how much activity has taken place. It's easy to see why they haven't gotten much return. It's been consumed in fees. But that's a conversation for another day. What are we here to do? Well, I've been doing this for a few years now, and every week my intent is to come on and pull back the curtain on the industry, but more importantly, to educate. I believe education leads to clarity. Clarity then results in confidence, and confidence can lead to peace of mind. And when you start to think about the financial industry, you start to ask yourself, well, who makes the rules in this industry? Well, that would probably be the IRS and the different institutions and entities involved in the financial arena. You start to ask yourself then, well, who teaches the rules? Well, really, no one really does teach the rules out there, and that's what we've been doing for a few years, and I'm a member of a small but growing group of professionals that are deeply concerned about the direction of our country. Although I am more optimistic than I was a couple years ago, for sure. I hope that, and we're not going to get into that right now, but a lot of professional people out there, different walks of life, are realizing financial literacy is an issue in this country. The lack of financial acumen or understanding is not acceptable. It's not taught anywhere. So this is why we have, ladies and gentlemen, if you go to my website, financialabundanceinc.com, financialabundanceinc.com, I'm pretty sure you can just type in financial abundance in Google, and we should come up as the first search there. But basically, on that website, there's almost 4 years of radio shows and iPod or a podcast. I used to have a syndicated radio show. Now we just do the podcast, as well as about a year's worth of videos and coaching that we did for the NBC affiliate here in Central PA. So there's a plethora. Yes, I got to use the word plethora again in my podcast. A plethora of information available to any of those that have the intestinal fortitude and constitution to search out and understand what the truth is. The truth will set you free, but you got to search it out. It can be elusive. With that being said, my intent today is to go through a market update to give you an idea of how we're doing about two-thirds of the way into the first month of 2011. Now, let me preface this by saying that I subscribe to an academic approach to investing. I don't believe in market timing, track record investing, or searching out who the latest managers are. I believe in the science that has been availed to us from the last 50 years of research by notable people, including Nobel laureates like Harry Markowitz and William Sharp and Merton Miller, and amongst those great minds, people like Rex Singfeld and Roger Ibbotson and Eugene Fama and Kenneth French, whether they be authors, academics, professors from Ivy League schools, as well as many people that are part of the University of Chicago, the most notable, by the way, financial institution in the world, in that there have been more Nobel laureates that have come from that fine institution than any other as it relates to economics and finance. So what we're going to do is just kind of give you a little preface, and that is we believe in really three concepts as it relates to academic investing. Modern portfolio theory. What is it? Well, modern portfolio theory basically are the underpinnings that can be associated with portfolio risk, or with the intent is to have dissimilar price movement, so we own everything, never knowing what's going to be up. We're going to own whatever is up. So the idea, do not have all your eggs in one basket, is a simple way of explaining different types of asset classes that would be used in modern portfolio theory. Modern portfolio theory basically says that there are two types of risk: systematic risk. This is specific risk that cannot be diversified away. Recessions, interest rates are examples. These are types of risks that cannot be diversified away. But it can deal with unsystematic risk. This is known as specific risk. This risk is associated with owning individual stocks. This risk can be diversified away by increasing the number of holdings in our portfolios and understanding we have the concept of dissimilar price movement, umbrellas and suntan lotion. We want to own umbrellas and suntan lotion, not chase the one that's up right now, because we never know which is going to be up. For example, who knew that small cap growth and value would win last year and developed markets would lose internationally last year? Who knew the previous year that international would win? Who knew the previous year that cash would win? So we never know what the hot asset class is going to be, so we want to own all of them. We want to own suntan lotion. We want to own umbrella companies, because sometimes the sun shines and sometimes it doesn't. So we want to make sure that regardless of what happens, that we own the asset class that's up. Now, true, logic would dictate that we would also own the asset class that's down, but you must understand that the market is a picture. Think of this, visualize this. You're walking up a flight of stairs, but you're playing with the yo-yo at the same time. So you're going up, which is what the market's done, but it's gone up and down in short periods of time. We know that the market has what we call a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. We just don't know which ones are going to be which. And anyone that implies that they have some insight, some piece of knowledge or nugget that the rest of us don't have, or they imply in any way, shape, or form that they can predict or suggest what's going to happen moving forward with any certainty and predict and continuity, I would get away from them, because my first question would be, what's their motivation for telling me this? If they really knew what was going on, there would be no reason to tell me this. They'd be sitting on the beach with a laptop, and they'd share this knowledge with their close friends and family, because they could do all the trading if they knew what was going to happen in the market. So, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to get on too much of a rant here, but all the stuff you see on TV, all the investment magazines, all this stuff is, it's great education. Some of it's actually fun to read. Most of it's dry, but some of it's fun to read. But the fact of the matter is, it is nothing but prediction, speculation, encouragement to imprudently invest through mechanisms of fear and greed and psychological manipulation. I know I'm sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but the fact of the matter is nobody knows, but everyone out there implies that they do. What we do know is science works if it's applied properly. And if you apply the science of modern portfolio theory and understand the idea of the efficient market hypothesis, which basically came from a dissertation from Louis Blachier, 1900 dissertation from the theory of speculation, as well as a lot of research from other notables like Paul Samuelson from MIT and Burt Malkiel from Princeton and Eugene Fama from the University of Chicago. The idea that professional managers as a whole can beat the market is ridiculous. Efficient market hypothesis supports the idea that existing stock prices reflect all the knowable information, so it's impossible to speculate about what's going to happen in the future. For example, when did Bear Stearns stock take a dump a couple years ago? The day it was announced. Not the day before, the day it was announced, instantaneously. So for anyone to imply that they have some insight about what's going to happen in the market, in my opinion, is absolutely ridiculous. Efficient market, we have an efficient market system. Now, if there is any inefficiencies to speak to, and I'm not going to spend any time on this, it would be investor behavior, not the dynamics of the market. Bottom portfolio theory is accepted by everyone. I don't know of anyone who's disputed that. Efficient market hypothesis, now that comes up for debate amongst different people, but I haven't seen any science or anything other than opinion or speculation that would discount it. And then we have the three-factor model, which basically was a study, an extensive study, that asked the question, where do returns come from? And these academics, notably French and Fama, found out and tracked, built one of the largest databases, I believe it is the largest returns database out there, and really found out where 97% of the returns come from in the market, and they come from owning different asset classes like large value, large growth, small value, small growth, value companies, growth companies, cash, and there's risk premiums associated. Now, I don't want to get too heavy here. What I mean by risk premiums is I know that if I invest in the stock market over just owning cash, I should expect a higher rate of return, but I should also expect the potential for higher risk. If I own value companies are what we would call unexcellent companies, not bad companies, but they're not growth companies, so we should expect a higher return. The bottom line is we never know what asset class is going to be up, so we want to own all of them. So let me go through the market update with that rather lengthy dissertation and preface. Again, this is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. We believe education leads to clarity, clarity to confidence, and confidence can, and my friends, I believe it will, result in peace of mind. Yes, it's true that ignorance is bliss, but once you get to the point where you're seeing a little light, you need to see enough light so that you can discern what's going on, understand who makes the rules, why they make the rules, how the rules work, and if you start to think about that, maybe you'll start to understand the motivation behind the rule makers, and hopefully it'll help you make some better decisions. Market update, as of 1/19/2011, that would be Wednesday, this January, week 19th, Wednesday the 19th, close of. That would be the business day close, 19th, asset classes. Let's start with the Russell 2500. This measures the performance of small cap companies in the U.S., predominantly small growth companies. Year to date, we're up about 1.25%, so it's in the black. Yay, team, keep going. Russell 2000, this measures the performance of small to micro-size companies, and we're up about 0.5%. So small growth and micro growth are both up, according to the indexes, Russell 2000 and 2500. Then we have the Russell 2000 Value Index. This measures the performance of small cap value segment of the U.S. equity universe, and we're up about 0.25%. Again, it's January. We're just starting the year out. This is year-to-date, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Let's jump over to Russell 1000, which measures large value. The Russell 2000 value measures small. The Russell 1000 value index measures large, and we're up about 1.5%. And then we go to the S&P 500, which would be predominantly U.S. growth companies, or the S&P 500 is widely regarded as the best single gauge of the U.S. equities market, okay? Predominantly U.S. large growth, and we're just shy of 2%. So in the domestic area, that would be the great United States, America, the beautiful, we are basically talking about 2% with large growth being the better asset class so far up to date this year, and the lagging U.S. would be small value. That brings us to international, where we will use the Morgan Stanley Capital International respective indexes, the first one being the World Index, Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. And this really is designed to measure the equity performance in developed markets, these being Hong Kong, Sweden, Spain, Singapore, Portugal, Netherlands, Japan, United Kingdom, etc. Year to date, about 2.25. In fact, it's not the winner, but it's very close. Let's go to the winner. The winner being the best performing asset class year to date as of January 19th, business close 2011, would be the Morgan Stanley Capital International IFA, Europe, Australia, and the Far East Index. This, of course, is designed to measure the equity performance of developed markets, excluding North America, basically, that being U.S. and Canada. And then the lagging international asset class, by the way, that's 2.84, I'm sorry. The Morgan Stanley Capital International IFA is 2.84, so that would be the winner up to the 19th of 2011, that being January. And the emerging markets would be the loser international. It's still a winner. What's good is they're all in the black. So here's a point that let me digress for a moment, making the point about asset allocation and understanding we want to own all the asset classes because we never know which one's going to be up. And that logic leading us to the fact that some may be down. Well, here's an example where none of them are down. All the asset classes are up. Now, what we got to be careful about is the industry will want to chase the highest one and sell out of what's down. I wouldn't encourage you to do that. You never know what's going to happen by the year end. We want to own everything, rebalance, lock in the gains daily if possible, quarterly for sure, and basically we end up with a well-diversified portfolio that owns the entire global marketplace. Don't fight it. Don't fight the forces. You know, join, understand modern portfolio theory, the three-factor model, efficient market hypothesis, and rebalancing. Ladies and gentlemen, most people, once we fix their portfolio, I found people don't have a portfolio problem. What they have is a people problem. The unfortunate nature, though, of the industry and the lucrative nature of the industry, it can create a situation where we have a lot more activity in accounts than people should have. And if you can get those fees down and limit that activity and just accept what the market will bear from year to year, I think you'll be a very happy investor. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. By the way, I am the president of Financial Abundance, which is a registered investment advisory firm. It's registered in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We're also registered in a few other states. We do business around the country, and we can do that. We deal with total estate planning, all kinds of insurance strategies, tax strategies, to academic investing and understanding the science behind investing and how to apply it, and trying to stay away from the retail environment, more in the institutional environment. If you'd like to learn more about what we do and how we go about doing it, you can certainly start by looking at our website. By the way, I have to thank many of you out there that listen to the show regularly. We are averaging close to 1,000 downloads, I believe, every 6 weeks or so. And for a show that's done once a week, I consider that to be quite healthy. So I want to thank you. I hope that the information that we put out enriches your life and helps you muddle through the minutiae that can be out there. My father used to say, dazzle them with brilliance or baffle them with BS. And I think there's a lot more baffling with BS out there. And I don't know if I can say that on iTunes, can I? For those of you that have sensitive sensibilities, I apologize about that. But I think you get the picture. A lot of my family hails from Texas. So down in Texas, that term is commonly used and well understood. And I see a lot of that being slung around this industry. So ladies and gentlemen, buyer beware, get educated. If you don't know how to get educated, check out our website, iTunes. There's different sources out there. Make sure you're working with people that approach this from an academic approach. You can take all the speculation and gambling and guessing out and just buy the entire marketplace, rebalance. And it's hard to do by yourself. I know some of you are self-investors and use exchange-traded funds and index funds and all that, and that's fine. But there are levels that you can take beyond that to help ensure prudence and well-balanced portfolios. With that being said, if you'd like to dial direct, you can call us 866-867-5745. On Facebook, Financial Abundance. If you want to If you're a Facebook person, please go on there and type it in and hit us up, become a friend. These podcasts come out, notices come out on Facebook when we do post them. I hope this finds you well. Hope you're having a wonderful beginning of a new year. My family always has a saying every year we kind of come up with. My daughter always asks me every year. Last year, 2010, we had such a good 2009. Our saying was, it's our time in 2009 for the Nichols family. So we said, let's do it again in 2010. This is my immediate family, my wife and my children. And so this year's saying, the picture we have and the goal we're focused on is, let's make life heaven in 2011. I hope that whatever struggles you're having, you realize this too shall pass. If things are going right now well in your life, hallelujah, ain't it great? Have a wonderful day. Look forward to next week's show. Once again, Financial Abundance, Inc., Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. Have a great day. Signing off. Talk to you next week.